Scripture text is taken from the book of 2 Samuel chapter 7, looking at biblical leadership, and some examples are positive, some are negative. Last week we looked at Samuel the prophet, and how when the Lord told him to go speak to Saul some words that he didn't want to do, that Samuel did it anyway. He was an example of someone that did the hard thing because it was what the Lord wanted. Saul was an example of someone who did the wrong thing because it's what the people wanted. And today we're going to look at King David, not what he did so much as his heart. And we need to aspire to have a heart that's after God like David. I'm going to start at verse 18 because there's so much to look at, so much to talk about. But I'll just give you the background. David had been to the tent of the Lord before chapter 7. You remember back in the time of Samuel's predecessors, when Samuel was a little boy and Eli was the chief priest and the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant was in Shiloh, the people were sinning greatly. And Eli's boys, Hophni and Phinehas, they were extorting money or extorting offerings from the people, and they're also seducing the women that came to worship at the tent. And so the children of Israel lost the battle of Ebenezer. The Ark of God was taken. And we know from Jeremiah, the prophet, that it doesn't say it in 1 Samuel, but in Jeremiah it tells us, at that time, Shiloh, where the tabernacle was destroyed. And we know from archaeology that there's evidence that right at that time, right when the Bible says, there's a destruction level in the city of Shiloh, just as the Lord said. I got a little ring going on. I don't know if I need to turn off one mic. Anyway, so the children of Israel had been without normal or biblical worship for like 60 or 70 years, a long time, maybe 80 years. All of Samuel's ministry, all of Saul's ministry, David's become king. And when the Lord makes David king and he gives him some victories over the Philistines, then David says, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant back. So I can only think that they had to refabricate the tabernacle according to the design that's given in the law. It gives an exact specification for what the tabernacle is supposed to look like. And so David's all excited. We haven't done things according to the law for 80 years. Now let's get the tabernacle. Let's get the ark. Let's put it all together. Let's worship the Lord. And he's all excited, and he goes to worship the Lord, and he says, this is just a tent. He had such enormous expectations of what this experience was going to be like, to do things according to the law. And he says, I'm living in a house of cedar, and the Lord is being worshipped in a tent. And he says to Nathan the prophet, I'm going to build a temple. And Nathan the prophet says, you know, the Holy Spirit's on you. Whatever you can't go wrong. You do whatever you think because you've got the Holy Spirit. And if the Lord's told you to build a temple, go to build a temple. David's all happy. And then the Lord speaks to Nathan that night and says, I never told him to build a temple. See, David getting a little ahead of himself. So Nathan comes with this word from the Lord. You're not the one to build a temple. You're not the one. But your son will build a temple. And David, you did well to have this in your heart, but you're just not the person to do it. And you know what? Because you had this in your heart, the Messiah is going to come from your family tree. You imagine that? Really, essentially, one of the greatest promises in all the Bible happens for something David just wanted to do. He never did it. If you ever think you're discouraged because you tried to do something and it didn't work out, God sees the intent of your heart. That's one encouraging thing. I didn't get to the place I'm going to read yet. But I did want to say that. God offers this great, great blessing because David intended to do something for God. So don't be afraid to try. Okay? God's not so much concerned with your success as with your heart. Do you want to please the Lord? You think about, we've got to invent ways to serve the Lord this fall, because there's nothing in the Bible that says this is how you do ministry. So we're gonna invent ways this fall to please the Lord, and we can do it with confidence because we know that God sees our heart. And what David wanted to do was to please the Lord. And that's what I want to say about leadership. We need to have a heart like David. Now let's read David's response to God's promise in verse 18. Then King David went in, chapter 7, 2 Samuel 7, 18. Then David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, sovereign Lord? You know, I'm just the baby of the family." Those things that his brothers said still stuck around in his head sometimes. "Who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you've brought me this far? And as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord, is for a mere human. What more can David say to you? For you know your servant, sovereign Lord, for the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant." Now, God is not going to do this great thing for 1,000 years. You know what I'm saying? He said, the Messiah is going to be born in your family, and because God has said it, David said, it's already done. "You have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. How great are you, sovereign Lord?" We've been singing about that all morning. How great is the Lord? "There is no one like you. There is no God but you. But you, as we have heard with our own ears, and who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth that God went out to redeem as a people for himself and to make a name for himself and to perform great and awesome wonders by driving out the nations and their gods from before your people, whom you redeemed from Egypt. You have established your people Israel as your very own forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. And now, Lord God, keep forever the promise you made concerning your servant and his house. Do as you promised, so that your name will be great forever. Then people will say, 'The Lord Almighty is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established in your sight.' The Lord Almighty God of Israel, you have revealed this to your servant, saying, 'I will build a house for you.' So your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. Sovereign Lord, you are God. Your covenant is trustworthy, and you have promised these good things to your servant. Now be pleased to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue forever in your sight. For you, sovereign Lord, have spoken. And with you, and with your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever, and it continues to bless us. For this is the Father. This is the Father, the ancestor of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for us." Now David had some things to be happy about, or things he'd seen the Lord do in his life, not just when he was anointed, but when he was anointed, the Spirit came on him. He was already a singer of songs by the time he enlisted in the army, because when King Saul, who was king during David's formative period, when he had depression and when and had his oppression from the enemy, his soldiers said, let us find a musician, someone who can play for the king when he's upset. And David was already a musician. And I can only imagine some of the songs that he wrote were written when he was still a shepherd out on the hillside. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Think of Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemy, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the work of the fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? The same idea that David expresses here. Who am I? What is man? Who are these people? You are the great and awesome God. And I can just imagine David under the stars at night, tending the sheep and worshiping the creator God of all the universe. He sees the creation. Now, Romans 1 tells us that the big failure of mankind is to worship the gift and not the giver. Worship creation instead of the creator. But David's got it right. David sees the stars, and he does not pray to the stars. He prays to their maker. And he's filled with a gladness in life. And he draws connections all the time. He sees the Lord's hand in his life. And so he understands what it means to be a shepherd. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me alive. He writes song after song after song. You know, he's not like the Beatles. Anybody remember the Beatles? Yeah, of course you remember the Beatles. Have you ever heard the song Number 9? Yeah. I was talking to a fellow at General Conference, and a young fellow, is almost a baby. I think he said he was 30. I can just barely remember 30. Anyway, he said, oh, I know the Beatles. I've heard a lot of the Beatles. Have you ever heard Number 9? Number 9, it just goes, Number 9. Number 9. You remember, Jody? You've never heard that? Can anybody? I can't get a witness from anybody. You'll have to go on Spotify. Greg has heard Number 9. And then after like a stanza of two or of Number 9, then they add some synthesizer to the background. No tune, just kind of wah, wah, wah. You know why they did that? Because they'd run out of ideas. They had run out of, they had nothing left in the gas tank. And the producer said, you know, if you're going to produce an album, you need another song. Well, we've already made 8. You're going to have to make Number 9. I don't know if that's what they did, but I'm trying to figure out how they could make such a mess. David wrote, must be 100 of the greatest praises. 3,000 years later, we're still singing because he loved God. He loved God so much. I'll bet he wrote a lot more than that, because we know of some people historically, like Charles Wesley wrote 6,000 to 8,000 hymns. Fanny Crosby wrote 7,000 to 9,000 hymns. That would take you like writing a hymn a day for 20 years. How do you even do that? I mean, that's, you know, when I have my devotions, I have a little scheme that I use. I used to read 10 chapters at a time when I first got out of school, and that didn't, it was okay, but like the first time through, I got a working knowledge of the Bible. But then I would be like, if God was trying to tell me something in the second chapter I was reading, I'd say, I can't listen, Lord. I got someone coming at 9:30, and I got 7 more chapters to read. So sorry, Lord. And, you know, that's not right. So I've got my own system now. I read a chapter from the Gospels and a chapter from the Law and a Psalm. And I've got my own system that I'm very comfortable with my system. I like it a lot. And then I pray for you. So I don't know what Fanny Crosby's system was. But to write that many hymns, she must have read her Bible, had her prayer, and said, I got an idea for a song. How could you write 9,000 hymns, huh? Her heart was filled with love for God. See? And that's what I want to say is our call for leadership. David's probably one of the greatest examples. But you know, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, he says, I know you make all the business meetings and you keep your doctrine all straight and you don't allow bad teachers, and I know you follow the letter of what I want, but you've lost your first love. David is such an example of someone that loves God. And we need, we've got a pulpit committee, not a pulpit. That's wrong. A nominating committee meeting is coming up in September where we'll be talking about who we're going to ask to work for and lead the church in the coming year. And sometimes churches get in a place where they're looking at the Constitution and they say, we need so many people to fill these offices. And so the emphasis can get to be, if they're breathing, they're qualified. That's not biblical. Okay? We want people that are breathing, don't get me wrong. And I'll tell you something too. People can love the Lord, but they need to be gifted in what we ask them to do. But a person that's gifted and doesn't have... King David was gifted. But he got out of the Spirit and committed... He had lots of love. Too much love. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. See, when you're out of the Spirit, it's a no-go. Listen, I'm supposed to be your pastor. I am your pastor. Thank God. I need to be in love with Jesus Christ. You need to be in love with Jesus Christ. If you're not in love with Jesus Christ, please don't be telling people in the world that you are. You can tell them honestly, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He gave his life so that you might live. Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, emptied himself, came to this earth and died with my sin and your sin. You can tell them honestly about the love of Jesus Christ and the gospel, but don't tell them you love Christ unless you love Christ. You've got to have some worship in your life. It's not all. God made us in order that we might love him. And David keeps his love hot in this chapter and all the Psalms. He keeps his love hot for God by rehearsing what God has done. I love the Lord, Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Therefore, I will call upon him so long as I live. I praise the Lord who has taught my fingers to war. And led by the Spirit with a love for God, he knew what it was to be obedient and take chances for God. He put himself in harrowing situations. That's how he took down Goliath. He didn't take down Goliath because he was the strongest or best armed or most experienced person in the army of Israel. You remember, he came and King Saul said, you can't fight Goliath. Goliath, you're just a boy and he's a seasoned warrior. And David said this. Oh, no, I'm going to say his threat to Goliath. David said, the Lord was with me when a lion attacked the flock, and I killed the lion with the Lord's help. And the Lord was with me when a bear attacked the flock, and I killed the bear with the help of the Lord. He knew it was with the help of the Lord. This Philistine will be like a lion or a bear. And it was quite a testimony to Saul's. Still had some faith to say, to understand what David was saying. And he said, you go be our champion. And the boy comes out, and Goliath sees David come out, and he curses him, and he curses the people of God, and he curses God. And David says, you come to me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to you. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel's armies, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I shall smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the field, and all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. He loved the Lord because he knew the Lord, and he'd experienced God's blessing. Brothers and sisters, David didn't know anything about the love of the Lord like we do, because the cross is 1,000 years off. And we know that God came in the flesh and hung on Calvary's tree. And though, how many times have you and I failed the Lord? At least twice. And he loves us anyway. All our lives we needed his grace, and we're going to continue to need his grace. And he gives us his grace. There's lots and lots and lots of reasons to love the Lord. And I just ask you to worship God, not just today, but as a way of life, that in your hearts you may honor God in all the things that you do, that you may take satisfaction in knowing that the things that you do, whether or not people see them, the Lord of hosts sees them. And may his spirit be upon not just David or just me or just those that get nominated to some position, but may the Spirit of God to be upon each of us, that whatever happens in this week, in this month, in this year, that we might delight in the God of grace, that we might live lives of love for him, and that others may say, what happened to you? What happened to you? And you can say, the Lord has touched me with his love. He's had mercy on me.